Hello, everyone. How is it going? I hope you're doing well. My name is Andrew. I will be your host and your English study buddy for today. Thank you for clicking play and joining me for this episode, which is bonus episode number 93 of the QLips English podcast. And if you're new to QLips and you don't know what the bonus episodes are all about, let me quickly explain. I just tell you some stories from my everyday life as a Canadian living abroad in South Korea. My everyday adventures, so to speak. And I hope by listening to these episodes, you will be able to build your fluency, increase your cultural knowledge of the culture of English-speaking people, grow your vocabulary, and ultimately become a better English communicator. And to accompany each bonus episode, we give away a 100% free interactive transcript and vocabulary glossary. To access it, you don't even need to create an account or anything like that. I know sometimes different websites give away free things, but you need to like make an account and set a password and confirm your email and all of those annoying things that I think everybody knows about. But with our free transcript and glossary, you don't have to do that. You can just click the link in the description for this episode and boom, you're studying with the interactive transcript and you can access the vocabulary glossary. Now, we also do have a membership program here at QLips, and if you are a QLips member, well then we also create a comprehension quiz for each bonus episode. And the comprehension quiz is just a fun way to confirm how much you understood from studying with this episode. So definitely, if you are a QLips member, make sure to check out the quiz as well, and I'll post the quiz in our member-only channel on our Discord server. Speaking of our Discord server, by the way, guys, it's an awesome place where our community gathers. There is, of course, our member-only channel, but there are many, many other channels as well that anyone can join. And it's where our community hangs out. We talk with each other. We share about our lives. There are voice chat rooms where you can practice English speaking and tons of other different channels and rooms where you can post about pretty much anything that you're interested in. There are thousands of people who have joined our server and are improving their English by using the QLips Discord server. So definitely, if you haven't joined yet, check it out, and I'll put the link in the description for this episode for you to do that. A little bit of housekeeping before we get into today's episode. Last week, I talked about bonus episode 100, and I threw out a question to you. I asked you, what should we do to celebrate that milestone, reaching bonus episode 100? That'll happen in about 7 weeks, I guess, because right now we are on bonus episode 93, so it means we have 7 bonus episodes until we hit 100. So about 7 weeks later, we'll reach that milestone. And we had a nice discussion about it on the Discord this week, and there were many people who threw out different ideas, different suggestions. And one of the ideas that I think was really interesting was about featuring you in bonus episode 100, about sharing your stories instead of my stories. And somebody said that this would give me a week off too, which I liked. I think, yeah, you know, I've done 100 bonus episodes almost 100 weeks in a row. I think I missed 1 or 2 weeks because of being sick or having Christmas or something like that. But it's been almost 100 weeks in a row. So I like this idea. It's kind of a 2-for-1, killing 2 birds with 1 stone type of situation. It will give me a week off, but it will also give us an opportunity to share your stories and your voice and for our listeners from around the world to hear you. So let's do it. Let's do this for bonus episode 100. I would like you guys to share any kind of story that you would like. On the Discord server, some people were talking about you should share about how you improved your English with QLips, and you can share that kind of story if you want to, but I'm gonna leave it up to you. If you have an interesting little story from your daily life that you'd like to share, if you have a story about learning English that you'd like to share, if you'd just like to maybe introduce yourself to the community, anything like that, feel free to record a voice message and let's share it in our Discord server, or if you feel more comfortable messaging it to me directly, my email address is andrew@qlips.com. So guys, I'm really counting on you to participate in this so that we can compile some stories from our listeners. I hope we'll have overwhelming support so that we have too many stories to choose from, and then I can select some of the funniest or the most heartwarming or the cutest or the best, and we'll put it together and we'll have a bonus episode featuring you instead of featuring me for episode 100. So you have some time, right? We're, like I mentioned, around 7 weeks away from bonus episode 100. This will give you some time to maybe brainstorm a short story that you'd like to share. Maybe just something funny from your everyday life, kind of like the stuff that I talk about here in the bonus episodes. You know, just little everyday things that happen that when you reflect back on them are kind of funny or kind of noteworthy and worth sharing with our community. So your homework has been assigned. You know what you have to do. Please record a message, a short story. Let's try and keep it, you know, 5 minutes or so would be perfect if possible, around 5 minutes maximum length, so we can share various stories from many different listeners and submit them. Submit them through our Discord server. You can DM me or you can post them in our voice message channel. That's a good place to post the messages, or send it to me by email and I will compile them and share them in bonus episode 100. So I think this is a really fun idea and I can't wait to hear your stories and to share them with our community as a way to celebrate hitting that important milestone of 100 bonus episodes. So something to look forward to. Again, we shouldn't get too far ahead of ourselves because we are only on bonus episode 93. So let's bring it back to this episode. And what I'm going to do in today's episode, everyone, is tell you about the time that I spent in Singapore. Recently, I traveled to Australia, and after my time in Australia, I had a few days to spend in Singapore. My wife and I were there only for 3 days and 2 nights, so it was short and sweet, but we did really enjoy our time in Singapore, and I'll tell you about some of the highlights and some of the things that we got up to. But first, here's some information about the best way to improve your English with Qlips. Are you ready to take your English to the next level? Become a Qlips member today. As a Qlips member, you'll get all the tools that you need to become a more confident and fluent English speaker. Tools that will help you to reach your English goals. For many people, English can feel difficult, scary, or frustrating. But with our effective learning materials created by expert English teachers, English becomes fun and rewarding. You'll feel yourself improving with each lesson. As a member, you'll get unlimited access to the interactive transcripts and study guides for all of our episodes. Each study guide is designed to teach you the most important vocabulary and expressions that you need to know to be a natural English speaker. Plus, you'll find quizzes and speaking and discussion questions in the guides. But that's not all. As a Qlips member, you'll also get ad-free audio, and you'll be able to join our monthly live streams to practice your English conversation with me, Alina, and other members of our community. You'll also get exclusive bonuses like the Fluency Files series, and you can join our member-only Discord channel. Best of all, you can become a member for an affordable price. Thousands of English learners have improved their English abilities from so-so to successful with Qlips membership. So to become a member today and to start improving your English with us, just visit our website, qlips.com, or click the link in the description for this episode. Okay, and now let's get started with my Singapore stories. Enjoy! Our time in Singapore was short but sweet. We were only there for 3 days and 2 nights. If I recall correctly, we arrived on a Thursday and we flew out back to Seoul on Sunday morning. So it didn't really give us a long time to explore and check out everything that Singapore has to offer, but at least it allowed us enough time to get a small taste of what life in Singapore is like. I want to tell you about what my impressions of Singapore are overall. So first things first, it was really hot. The weather was quite hot when we arrived in Singapore and we got off the plane. We were like, oh yeah, this is a hot place. The humidity and the heat hit you right away. And so that was the first thing we noticed. I also noticed that, of course, Singapore lives up to its reputation as being a very clean and civil place. Singapore's airport is often ranked number one in the world. And usually the Incheon Airport, the international airport closest to Seoul, is ranked number two. So I'm really familiar with Incheon Airport, but this was my first time visiting the airport in Singapore. So I was really excited to get to check that out and see what the world's best airport is all about. We did spend some time exploring the airport on our way out back to Seoul. But when we arrived, we just went immediately to our hotel and didn't really check out the airport at the start of the trip. And getting from the airport to the hotel, we had to ride the subway. And I have to say, you know, I don't know, I've traveled in many Asian countries and many Asian cities, in Japan and in Korea and Taiwan, China, now Singapore, and some other places as well. But I'm always really interested in the subway systems. Asian countries, in my opinion, have the best public transportation in the world. It's probably because there are so many people. The population density in these places is higher than what we see in a lot of places in North America and Europe. I'm not sure. I'm not an expert about public transportation, but I do geek out about public transportation to an extent, and I love looking at the networks of the trains and seeing what kind of special features each train has. And I'm very, very lucky to live in Seoul, and in Korea in general, we have amazing top-tier public transportation here, but I was really, really impressed with the subway in Singapore, and I have to say they're giving Seoul a run for their money because there were some unique things about the Singapore subway system that we don't have in Seoul that I was like, huh, we should copy this and put it in the Seoul subway. That would be amazing. So I don't know, if you're listening out there and you work for the Seoul subway company, maybe you could try and implement a couple of these things that I noticed. The first thing that I noticed that was really cool was when you are waiting for the subway at the station, there would be a TV that would tell you how full each car was. So you could see how many passengers were in each subway car and then choose to ride in a car that would be not too busy. So I really liked that. And unfortunately, we don't have that in Seoul yet. I think maybe one day in the future, that kind of feature may be implemented, but we don't have that yet. So that was really cool. Another thing that was cool was the size of the display screens in the subway car itself. They were really big and they were really easy to read. And sometimes when I ride the subway in Seoul, the screens that display the station are a little bit difficult to see, especially if you're maybe sitting down and the subway is very full. There are these TVs that are attached to the roof, but sometimes they can be difficult to see. And so you're like, oh, where am I? What station am I at? Especially if you have headphones on and you don't hear the announcement. I mean, these are just little things, but they did stand out to me as being really cool. It made me think that Singapore has a really awesome public transportation system, subway system, and I just geeked out while I was riding it. By the way, to geek out, do you guys know that phrasal verb? It's very casual. You wouldn't want to use it during a formal presentation at the office or anything like that. But to geek out just means to be a little geeky or nerdy about some topic. And what that means essentially is just to display a huge amount of interest in something that maybe isn't too cool or too popular. So a lot of people just ride the subway, I think, without thinking about it too much. But someone like me, I geek out over it. I get really interested in it and probably have more interest than the regular person. So in this kind of situation, it's okay to use that phrasal verb to geek out over something. So I geeked out a lot over the subway in Singapore, had a great time riding it. Of course, I didn't check out the whole network or anything, but just in the limited time that I did get to ride the subway, I really liked it. And I also liked how cheap it was. It was extremely cheap to ride the subway in Singapore. I think it was just maybe under $2 Singaporean dollars. I'm not sure what that converts to in American dollars, but it's probably under $1.50. So quite cheap to ride the subway as well, which I love. Another thing I geeked out about in Singapore was the skyline. Singapore has a world-class skyline. And what I mean when I say skyline is the city view, the view of all the skyscrapers in the city and the outline, what the city looks like from a distance. And it's kind of funny because when my wife and I were in Melbourne, one day we were just hanging out in the park. There was a park, which I mentioned in a previous bonus episode called Albert Park, very close to where we were staying. And often we'd go there for lunch. We'd pack a little picnic, maybe some fruit, some sandwiches, etc. And we'd go to the park and have a picnic. And while we were there, just shortly before we left for Singapore, actually, we were kind of just chatting and reviewing our time in Australia and our time in Melbourne. And I was saying to my wife, just jokingly, really, it's not like I was really criticizing the city or anything, but I was saying how I loved Melbourne. It was such an awesome place, friendly people, interesting things to do, beautiful parks, overall, like 10 out of 10 city, in my opinion. But there was one thing, one little criticism that I had of Melbourne, and that was there was no signature, iconic building or landmark in Melbourne's skyline. Like if you think of Sydney on the other hand, and maybe if there are any Australian people listening, I don't know if this is a point of contention, something that maybe could cause some bad feelings between Melbourne and Sydney people, I don't know. But if you think of Sydney, Sydney's got the Opera House, right? A very iconic building that people from all around the world know. But when I think of Melbourne, and even after spending a few weeks there, nothing really pops into my head. I can't really think of some iconic building in the Melbourne skyline. So I was joking with my wife, like, yeah, Melbourne's awesome, but they don't really have some kind of iconic building. And then it was ironic because just a few days later, we were walking through Melbourne and we heard some other tourists talking, and they were saying exactly the same point that I was saying, that there's no real signature in the skyline of Melbourne. So yeah, I don't know, maybe in the future, Melbourne will build that kind of world-class iconic building that everybody can recognize from around the world, but I guess at this point they don't have it. Who has it, though, on the other hand, is Singapore. Singapore definitely has an iconic skyline. They have many really unique buildings that showcase their city. And when you see the skyline of Singapore, then it's unmistakable. You definitely know that you're looking at Singapore. And probably Singapore's most iconic building in their skyline is the Marina Bay Sands, which is just this really wild looking building. It's got three main towers, and then on top of the towers is this big deck, I guess I could describe it as that. And I think they have a swimming pool, an infinity swimming pool on top of the deck, and probably some restaurants and stuff up there as well. I'm not really sure, didn't go up there. But it's like a big hotel, casino, convention center, as far as I know, and it's right in the Marina Bay area of downtown Singapore, and it's something when you see it. Have you heard English speakers say that before? If we say, wow, that building is really something, or he's really something, or that hamburger is really something, it means it's really good. And when I'm listening to myself say it, I'm thinking, oh, that could be a confusing expression to understand if you're learning English. But often, yeah, English speakers will say, wow, it's really something, especially if we use that intensifier to say it's really something. It just means that it's good. So the Marina Bay Sands, the building is very impressive. It's really something, and it stands out in the Singapore skyline. Another really cool place that's pretty close to the Marina Bay Sands, actually, is a place called the Gardens by the Bay. Gardens by the Bay. Now, if you visited Singapore before, then probably definitely you have been here to the Gardens by the Bay. It is, as far as I know, the number one tourist attraction in Singapore. And what it is a big nature park. And the highlight of the nature park are these two massive conservatories, which are essentially just really, really huge greenhouses. And one is called the Flower Dome, and one is called the Cloud Forest. And my wife and I were really eager to check these out. We both have an interest in flowers and plants and gardening, although I think my wife has more knowledge than me and is more interested in this topic than I am, but I'm still interested in it as well. And so we were excited to check out these huge conservatories, these really cool greenhouses. And so that's what we did on our second day in Singapore. In fact, we spent all day on our second day in the Gardens by the Bay Nature Park and that area. And I have to say, we had pretty high expectations going in. However, it was a little bit disappointing in the end, unfortunately. Maybe we were too excited. Maybe we had too high of expectations. I'm not sure. But at the end of the day, we were like, left a little bit to be desired. It didn't exactly meet our expectations. And it's not like the Flower Dome and the Cloud Forest weren't cool. They were really cool. But it was just a difficult long day because this tourist attraction is so, so busy. There were so many people at the Gardens by the Bay that it was just like one of those difficult experiences where you're always stuck up against other people. And if you want to take a picture, there's always a million people in your way, so you can't take a good photo. And there's kids running around screaming. And I don't know. It was just kind of a difficult day for us both. But essentially, the Gardens by the Bay is pretty cool. The Flower Dome is, as far as I know, the largest greenhouse in the world. And once you go inside it, you can walk around and see different displays of different climate zones. So they had like a South American garden and a Californian garden and a Mediterranean garden. There's a desert area. And you can walk through these zones and see different flowers and plants and trees from these different areas of the world. So that was really cool to walk through. And then the other big conservatory is called the Cloud Forest, and it's also really huge. And when you walk inside it, you go from the really hot weather outside to quite cool weather on the inside. And it's a little bit chilly. Like, I wish I had my jacket with me when I walked into the Cloud Forest. Because the Cloud Forest is set to replicate very cool and moist conditions that you usually find in a tropical mountain area around 1,000 meters to 3,000 meters, that very high altitude area. So that's why it's a little bit cold on the inside. And immediately as you walk inside, you can see this huge indoor waterfall. And I heard it's the second tallest indoor waterfall in the world. So that's really something. Huh, see what I did there? So yeah, the indoor waterfall, really cool. And it was cool to poke around and walk through and see the tour of the Cloud Forest building as well, and to look at some really interesting plants and even some plants that we have in our home that we have as houseplants. We could see them in the Cloud Forest, but much, much bigger. We're like, oh my gosh, this plant can grow to be this big. We had no idea some of these little plants that we have in our home can actually grow to be monsters if they are in the correct conditions. So although we did enjoy walking through the Gardens by the Bay area and checking out the plants, at the end of the day, it did kind of feel like artificial in some way. Like, my wife and I, we both love nature. We both love going outside. But I guess you could make a comparison between seeing an animal in the wild versus seeing an animal in the zoo. And perhaps it was because of the crowds at the Gardens by the Bay. You know, it was so busy at the time we were there. I don't know. It was just not as good, not as exciting as I was expecting it to be. So we spent our first full day in Singapore at the Gardens by the Bay. And when we came out of the park at the end of the day and we were a little bit tired, we were just looking for a place to rest. And my wife had heard that there was a light show at the Gardens by the Bay Park. So she wanted to see the light show. So we said, okay, let's stick around until sunset and until it gets dark and we'll watch this light show. But I had been walking around all day and I was exhausted from touring this park all day. So I said, I need to find a place to chill. We can just like sit down and relax and watch the light show from a distance. So we agreed to do that. So we walked like out of the park towards the end of the park, and we noticed that there were some people carrying picnic supplies that were like climbing up onto the rooftop of this nearby building. So we thought, I wonder what's up there. So we got curious and we followed them. And when we went up to the top of this nearby building that was close to the park, there was a huge lawn, this very big grassy area on the rooftop of this building. And so we were like, oh, this is perfect. Unfortunately, we didn't have a picnic blanket with us or anything really to sit on, but that doesn't stop me. I'm not afraid of getting a little bit dirty. So we sat down on the grass, and actually we had a perfect view of the area where the light show would be. And this was like the early evening, so it was still quite bright out. And we just relaxed on the grass and did some people watching. It was fun to see, I think, mostly local people hanging out in that area and having picnics. And there were some cute dogs running around and all of those things that are fun to observe in that kind of situation. The wind was really blowing that day, so there were many people flying kites as well. And we saw kind of a funny incident. There was this one family there, and the dad of the family, he had this really, really expensive looking kite. Like, I don't know anything about kites at all. And I have a feeling like maybe flying a kite in Singapore is a thing, because there were lots of people flying kites there. And yeah, in Canada, kites are mostly considered like a kid's toy, and you don't really see too many adults flying a kite. And in fact, you don't even see that many children flying kites in Canada. It's a very rare kind of toy to play with, I would say. However, there were many people flying kites in this area where we were hanging out. So I thought, I guess maybe flying a kite in Singapore is a thing. And this family was flying a kite, and the dad had this really expensive looking kite that was shaped like an eagle. And he had it on this big reel with this thick line. Like, it wasn't just a kid's toy. This, you know, looked like a very expensive kite. And so he had the kite up in the sky and he was chilling. He had a couple of little kids and his wife was there. And then a few moments later, another family joined, and I guess they were all gonna hang out together. So there were two young families, and the dad was flying his kite and he had it way up in the sky, and they're all looking at it and being like, wow, this is so cool. And the father of the other family, when they joined up, you know, the two dads were talking, as dads often do, right? And they're talking about the kite. And the other dad was kind of being like, could I try flying the kite for a bit? Could I give it a shot? And the other guy, the guy whose kite it was, looked to be a little bit apprehensive, like, I don't know, man, this is my kite. Like, you can watch, but you can't fly it. But I'm not exactly sure what happened, but at some point, I guess the other dad had convinced him that it would be okay, that he could fly the kite safely and that there wouldn't be any problems. So the owner of the kite reluctantly, looked like a little reluctantly, handed over the controls of the kite to the other dad. And so the other dad was flying the kite for a couple of moments, and you know, his wife was taking a picture of him and he's looking so happy. And he must have been flying the kite for only about 2 minutes, and then can you guess what happened? Classic story here. Of course, the wind changed a little bit and suddenly the kite started to fall down in the sky. And then it really started to fall down in the sky. And then the other dad who was right beside him was like, ah, I don't know. They weren't speaking English. They were speaking a different language. So I'm not exactly sure what they were saying to each other. But the kite owner ripped the controls out of the other dad's hand and he tried to save his kite. He was like pulling on the string very quickly, trying to bring the kite in. And it was in a death spiral, just spinning around, falling to the ground slowly but surely. and the kite owner dad was just trying his best to get it under control, but he couldn't get it under control, and it just kept going down, 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 and then it smashed into the ground. And the kite owning dad looked very unimpressed. He looked really angry, really ticked off at the other dad, like, yeah, you just broke my kite. You know, this is probably his hobby, and this was the perfect condition to fly. The weather was perfect, and they're out with their families. And then the kite crashed right in front of his families and his wife. So he's probably a little bit embarrassed and also angry that maybe his expensive kite was broken. Thankfully, it didn't hit anybody. And I was worried when it was going down. It was a couple of hundred meters away from us, so I wasn't concerned about us getting hit. But it was like a big kite, and I'm sure if this crashed into you, it would really do some damage. So thankfully, nobody was hit by the kite when it crashed. But yeah, the kite-owning dad looked really angry, and the other dad who crashed the kite looked rather sheepish and really embarrassed and like, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. I'm so sorry, man. I'm so sorry that I crashed your kite. And so both dads ran off to go and find the kite and the string. I guess I shouldn't say string. It was like really like a thicker cord that was attached to the kite. They had to untangle that, and they went away, and maybe 30 minutes later, they came back with the kite and it was all broken up. And they were untangling the cord. So yeah, overall, a sad story, a sad ending to the kite's life. But my wife and I were watching that as we were waiting for the sun to set. And it was kind of a funny thing to witness, even though I feel bad for the guy who lost his kite. Anyways, that whole incident was entertaining us as we waited for the sun to go down. As the sun went down, the lights of the city came on, and we had just an amazing view of the Singapore skyline from the area that we were hanging out in. And of course, I'll post some pictures from the trip that I took on our Instagram, and I'll put them on our Discord as well so you guys can check it out and see what I saw through my photos. But the sun went down, the city lights came on, and the skyline at night just looked amazing, really beautiful city, of course. And then finally, the light show started that my wife was excited about, and it turned out to be, again, very disappointing and nothing special. So once that was finished, we packed up and we went back to the area that we were staying in. We had some dinner, we went to a lovely restaurant where we had chili crab, which, as far as I know, is one of the national dishes of Singapore. The restaurant that we went to was extremely busy, and when we arrived there, they asked us, did we have a reservation? And we said, no. And they were like, oh, okay, I don't know if we can fit you in. But they found us a table, and the staff and the service were really, really friendly, not just at this restaurant, but I found at all restaurants and our hotel throughout Singapore. I was really impressed with how friendly and kind and how next level the service was. Even just at the grocery store, the cashiers were extremely friendly, and it left a really good impression on me just about how kind and friendly everyone was to us in Singapore. One of the things that is really, really unique about Singapore is how multicultural it is how multilingual it is. And of course, I also geeked out on that. As somebody who's interested in languages, I thought it was really cool how you have all of these different languages mixed together. But the main lingua franca of Singapore is English. To be more specific, Singlish, I suppose. And so that made it quite easy for me to communicate with everybody, which was also cool. It's nice to visit a foreign country where I can communicate quite clearly with everyone. Even though I can't speak Chinese or Tamil or Malay or any of the other languages that are spoken in Singapore, I could just use English, and I had no problem whatsoever being understood or communicating with anyone. And all of the signage in the city is in English as well. So that was comfortable and convenient for me. We did so many other things in Singapore, even during our short time there. It's going to be impossible for me to talk about all of them. We went to Little India, a neighborhood called Little India, which was really fascinating to check out. I've never been to India before, so I don't know what real India is like, but I felt like while I was in Little India that it was almost like visiting India. I don't know. Maybe some listeners have been to Little India in Singapore and India the country, and you could tell me if they're at all similar or not, but I felt like I had almost a little mini trip, a mini vacation to India, visiting Little India there in Singapore. I went for a long run one morning and I ran through the whole Marina Bay area and stadium and through some other areas of Singapore. I think I ran for about 25 kilometers or so, and that was really cool. While I was running, I saw these gigantic lizards that I guess are related to Komodo dragons. I'm not exactly sure what they're called, but I saw a few of them, and they were, yeah, really, really long, over a meter long for sure, maybe a meter and a half, and I didn't want to get too close to them. Thankfully, they were pretty sheepish, and as I was running and got closer to them, they ran away. So that was good because I didn't have to want to fight any of these massive big lizards, and I heard they have razor sharp teeth and are poisonous as well. So I'm sure if we did get into a fight, me and one of these massive lizard creatures, I probably would have ended up on the losing side. So I'm glad they ran away first. But yeah, that was really cool to see these massive lizards on the side of the running trail where I was running. What else did we do? We had some great food. We ate at some different local restaurants and just had some of the dishes that they recommended. We went to some parks. And on our final night, we went to this hawker's market, which is essentially just this massive food court. And there are all these different food stands where you can buy local food. And we went to the area in the back, which is this barbecue area where they sell satay, which essentially is just grilled meat on a stick. And you can't go wrong with grilled meat on a stick. So we ordered a bunch of them. I can't remember what we had, maybe shrimp and lamb and beef, I think. And they also had ice cold draft beer. And so that was really cool. That area was packed. There were tons of people there. It was hard to find a seat. And I felt like that was a really cool experience, a delicious meal, but maybe not an authentic Singapore experience because actually most of the people that were surrounding us were Koreans. So there were a ton of Korean people there. And there were also many other travelers. We struck up a conversation with some of the people who were sitting beside us. One woman was from France and the other one was from the States. So I think, yeah, this was more of like a tourist trap area. I didn't notice too many local people from Singapore there. But that's all right. Sometimes when you're a tourist, it's all right to go to the tourist attractions and do the tourist trap stuff because, yeah, it's kind of fun from time to time. So we didn't mind that. That was our last night in Singapore. And then the next morning we flew out and flew back to Seoul. But before we left, we did have a little bit of time to poke around in the airport. And that verb to poke around just means to explore slowly. So we poked around in the airport. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, it's often ranked as the best airport in the world. And the thing in the airport that we were really interested to check out was the Jewel, the Singapore Jewel, which is this really cool waterfall fountain thing in the middle of the airport. So we went and we checked out the Jewel. It is really impressive. It's really cool. There's this massive waterfall right in the middle of the airport. And we took some pictures there. But then the rest of the airport, I thought, just felt like a shopping mall. Just felt like the airport was connected to a shopping mall. There were a lot of different stores and shopping and restaurants and stuff. But that's not really something that's too interesting to me. So we checked out the Jewel and then we grabbed a coffee and just hung out until it was time to catch our flight and come back to Seoul. Well, everyone, that is it for me today. Thank you for listening all the way to the end of the episode, and thank you for spending some time studying English with me today. Great job. Keep it up. You're on the right track. You're on the right path to improving your English fluency, so you can feel good about that. So keep this good energy, these good vibes flowing into next week, and I hope you have a great and productive week of English study ahead. And because you made it all the way to the end, I'm going to share this week's special code word with you. And what I'd like you to do with this code word is either to go onto our Discord server or Instagram account and leave a comment with the code word. And by doing that, I'll know that you listened all the way to the end, and our other community members will also know that you listened all the way to the end. So the code word for this week's episode is kite, K-I-T-E. Of course, if you have any questions or comments about this episode, you can leave them on our Discord as well. And I hope we'll have an interesting discussion there. I'm sure many of you out there have visited Singapore, so I'd like to hear what you have to say about the city and what your time there was like as well. Of course, if you're from Singapore, then you probably have even more information to share. So I'd love to hear from our listeners from Singapore as well. Okay, so I'm gonna go now. Everybody, take care, have a wonderful week, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.